Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Listener note, if you would like to hear what happened in level 1 of my 2022 World Series of Poker main event, and what happened leading up to it. In fact, if you would like my entire comeback story, 5 years in the making, including 2 deep World Series of Poker main event runs in the 2 prior to this one, and numerous conversations with poker superstars such as Matt Moore, Garrett Adelstein, Doug Polk, Matt Berkey, and others, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. That's patreon.com/DGAF poker player, and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. And just go ahead and do that right now. Just takes a few moments, and not only do you gain access to about 900 hours of private recordings, including part 1 of this episode, but you also get membership to DGAF community, an online community of communal folk. So go do that. I'll take a sip of this 7-Up Zero and wait for you. All right. Thanks for signing up. I think you'll enjoy all the content and the amazing community. Poker Session 78 of 150, 2022 World Series of Poker Main Event Part 2, The Lead Up. Last you heard, if you're a patron, which you are, you just signed up, I chipped up from 60K starting stack in level 1 to 69K. Exactly. That's what I went on break with. And I played very spazzy, like I just do, especially when I'm not drinking. And I bet a lot of people would think, watching me play when I drink, that if I played sober, I would be more conservative and have a lower... It's the opposite. I really put my foot down when I'm sober because usually my image is better and I can get more bluffs through and I pick up on more stuff, and people just can't fathom that someone who's not drinking can play like a complete psycho. And yeah, so I did that in level 1, played pretty spazzy. I got some bluffs through. I got some bluffs called, and the first one was very ambitious by the classic Euro, and the other one's just automatic. You know, the turn card you have to bluff, and the river card you have to shut down. And I do not believe in waiting around in the World Series of Poker main event. I think if you, people say that like, oh, well, it's just a long tournament, it's a marathon, just play solid, play tight. Fuck that. I don't play solid or tight ever. I haven't in 14 years. That's true. I stopped playing solid and tight in 2008. And definitely not in this tournament because, yes, if your goal is to advance to day 2, do that. But you can also just buy in day 2. And if you're, you know, if your goal is to try and get to day 3, sure. But my goal is to play optimally in this thing. And that's when you are deep, use your, you know, flex your poker muscles. These people, you know, some of them are great tournament players, but they don't have the experience I do deep. And yeah, so I wore a hat. And the point of that was to be incognito a little bit. A lot of people recognize me now from playing on the number 1 stream in poker, Hustler Casino Live, and don't want any attention. And I'm not saying I'm a big celebrity or anything, but I just don't want any. And also, I want to, you know, people that watch that show are going to have a hard time following me. I just want to be anonymous as much as possible. And anyways, I, what? So I finished that level one. I started walking. I don't know where. I'd never been to Bally's before, and I saw E-Donk, a member of DGAF community, and we go and sit down, and it's too smoky. So we walk over to Paris, which is just part like connected to Bally's, and we find this, like, I don't know what it is. It's just this little restaurant that it's kind of like a snack bar restaurant. We just sit there and you sit down and say, how's your table? Okay, we got to go back. And that's what the main event is. It's dealing with time crunches. It's dealing with crowds, exhaustion. It's who can do that the best? They have an edge in this thing. And I've done it well 3 times. And the previous 2 times, for sure. And so we race back. And I read the clock wrong. I thought we had a couple more minutes than we did. I went and took a piss. And I missed my blinds. So what? We're going to start level 2 instead of with 69K with 68.1 because it's 233. And so I was the, is that right? So it must have, anyways, they took my blinds. And I titled each level that I played something, and I titled level 2, Settling In, This Is Torture. So I was a little spazzy. I do want to play super aggro, but you have to be calm internally to sell your bluffs. And maybe one of them got called because I looked nervous or unsettled. It's true. I just, you know, my life isn't meditation, exercise, downtime. No, it's go, do this job, fucking play poker when you can. And you know you're not going to play your best, but you're still going to be pretty fucking good. And sometimes you're going to be readable because you're not in the zone. And I wasn't. And I'm starting to settle in level 2. Like, okay, yeah, it's main event. Sure, I've never been to Bally's. Okay, we played 2 hours. Let's fucking go. But also, this is torture. Why? Well, you're going to have to listen to why it's called settling in. This is torture. Just a roll call. The one seat, I've called Bryce Harper, wearing a Phillies hat. And the two seat is a semi-famous woman tournament player. And the three seat, I've called Trout Aroni. It looks like my friend Macaroni is wearing a Mike Trout shirt. Seat 4 is the classic Euro. The guy that has the huge headphones on, tanks, stares, snarls. I love Euros. Oh, I love many Euros, but this guy's just the classic, like, game killer. The guy that comes to LA and, like, you know, just whatever, your 10-20 dies because he's in it. And it's fine. I'm not judging him. Just that's what he is. Seat 5 is a famous nosebleed poker player / coach. Seat 6 is, we'll call her the angel. She's just kind of angelic, older Asian woman, but she was sucking her finger at the end of level 1, and that kind of grossed me out. And then seat 7 is a high-stakes tournament player. I believe he's German. Call him Bem. He has big earrings. He's lots of tattoos. And he was boys with the guy who won the main event last year. And then seat 8 is a cool Euro, good player. And then seat 9 is your protagonist, Dragon Man. And so it is a marathon, but I believe in trying to get chips whenever you can so that you can withstand cold spells. And I'm on the button. Someone opens and people call. I call with 3. It's pretty easy, but call on the button. And it comes queen 8-6. And the pot is pretty large and everyone checks. And the opener was the nosebleed player. And the turn's a king, queen 8-6, 2 clubs. And this player bets tiny. And so I call, like, it's clear everyone else is folding. I call, I'm getting like 9-1 on a call with 2 threes. He could definitely have some draws here. I think I was just inventing stuff in my head. This is pretty, I can just fold even at this amazing price. And then the river is a break, and he bets 1,100 and gives some speech play. And I paid it off. I mean, the pot was, I was getting a huge price on both the turn and the river, but the reality is I called with 3s on queen 8-6, king after the flop got checked around, and X, and I just kind of gave some chips away. And I didn't know anything about this player. I never played with him, and the reality is definitely world-class player, but just plays super tight and never bluffs. in my experience. And I guess that's a strategy to play the main event. And I believe this person had $250,000 in last longer bets and was playing to last long and all that. So that was kind of a punt there with the threes, but it was, you know, the pot was enormous, and I believe in pot odds, and I believe people can bluff with everything they do. They're supposed to be having bluffs in their lines if they're world-class players. I don't know. It was ambitious payoff, to say the least, but who cares? It's just the first day. It's the second level, and we'll just hopefully just start playing better and making hands. Well, I open ace-king, and I get three calls. Okay, and it comes king, 6-4, rainbow. So not a whole lot of two-pair combinations. And when there's not a whole lot of two-pair combinations, I'm going to barrel. And especially multi-way, because it just looks so strong when you bet into three players. And I bet 2,000 into 3,400 with ace-king, and I'm just going to keep betting and betting while they all fold. And then someone comes over that I knew long ago at Hawaiian Gardens, and they come in for a fucking bro handshake. And long-time listeners know I suck at bro handshakes, and I fuck it up, and it's awkward. And then they go back to their table. And it's time for a nightmare hand after a sip of this 7-up zero. Folds around to the cool euro in the 8, and he opens weak. How do I know he's weak? I'm sitting right next to him. I just know he's weak. Something about it. This is real shit. Opens weak. And so I 3-bet king 4 suited. And one of the blinds calls. Unfortunate. I 3-bet to 2,100 and Trout Aroni calls. And that's going to bring this guy in as well. With I think he was going to fold if I weren't folded. I just knew he was weak. And anyways, it came fine for king 4 dimes. 8-7-5. And they checked to me. I went ahead and checked. The turn's a 6. I turned a straight. Trout Aroni checks. And now the cool euro fires half pot. Okay, I'm going to call here with my straight. And also, the other player, Trout Aroni, calls. Okay, and the river's a jack for 8-7-5-6-jack. I have king 4 that I 3-bet with preflop. And it's just a really tough spot. Trout Aroni checks, and now this guy bombs. And so he has a straight. There's a chance I'm chopping. I got another player behind. I have to fold. And Trout Aroni calls, and this guy had 7-4. Suited. So I knew he was weak. I 3-bet him with a dominating hand, king 4 against 7-4. He would have probably folded. And anyways, if one of the blinds didn't come along, we would have probably chopped if he did decide to play. And it's just one of those ones where I would have chopped, but you can't call. So it's kind of a nightmare. And I'm trying to get stuff going. My table is, what, 9 players and 6 are pros, myself included, and it's not the best table, it's not the worst table. I'm here, I'm playing sober, I want to get chips, and if someone's weak, I'm going to pounce, and it just was, there's so much variance in every hand, and this one was just one of those, I kind of got fucked, and had to fold a chop. And then I raised with ace-jack, and Bryce Harper called, and everyone else folded, and it came ace 6-5, and I bet, and Bryce Harper called, and the turn's a 9, and I checked, and he bet, and I called, the river's a 10, went check, check, he had pocket 8, so I got 2 streets with ace-jack against 8s on 8-6-5-9-10, that speaks to my image, and it speaks to Bryce Harper being a recreational player, and, you know, and he's tilted because he doubled up the young woman, professional tournament player, and you know, 2-pair against 2-pair, and okay, so I win some chips there. Let's get something going. And I call Bem, big earrings man, the high stakes, really cool dude, probably German, tournament pro. He opens, I call with king 9 suited, king 9 of diamonds, and I flop huge in a multi-way pot. It's 8-7-6-2 diamonds, and he leads, does the preflop razor, and I call. I think he probably has a really good hand here. He could have the nut flush draw. I don't need to be raising here, and everyone else folds. The turn is the 5 of hearts, so it's 8-6-7, 2 diamonds, turn 5 of hearts. I turn a straight. He leads again. It feels like he's trying to value town me with something, and the river's queen of hearts. Backdoor flush gets there, and now he checks, and now I bet kind of a lot trying to look like I missed diamonds, which I did, but I made it straight. He calls and my hand's good. So I think he probably flopped a set, and that's nice to make turn a straight. I don't know what he had, but he paid me off, and that was good. And then I opened ace four of hearts, and Bryce Harper called, and the young woman pro called, and Trout Aroni called. I got three calls, ace four of hearts. It comes ace 10-3 with two hearts. Huge flop. And we just check around. I think it's fine to check top pair, no kicker, nut flush draw. The turn's a jack, and now I bet. And Bryce Harper calls. And it's not the real Bryce Harper. It's just a dude wearing Philly's hat. And so we're heads up on ace 10-3, two hearts, turn, offsuit jack. River is an offsuit 10. And I bet small, hoping to, you know, that he turned a jack. He called. He has queen 10 offsuit. So I was, you know, way, way ahead, and he made trips, and that's unfortunate, and just can't, just so far in this main event, it's early, but I'm just not in rhythm. You know, that if you listen to part one, just weird shit happening, and it's okay. I'm still doing fine. I still got plenty of chips, and we move on. The angel, the angelic older Asian woman, opens, and I three bet with king queen, and she calls, and it comes king 9-6, and I bet tiny, and she snap folds. Okay, and the classic euro. I can tell he wants to three bet me because I am the most active player at the table, and that's just the case anytime I play poker. And he wants to three bet me, and he finally gets an opportunity. Well, I opened ace queen. It's a good hand. Bryce Harper called, and then he squeezed, did this classic euro, and I just call with ace queen. I don't need to four bet against this gentleman because I can tell he has a little rivalry going with me, or he wants to have it. And so I don't need to. There's a decent chance I'm getting five bet, and I don't want to be folding ace queen to this guy in this game flow. So just call with ace queen. It comes seven deuce deuce, and he bets the third pot. I'm definitely calling with ace queen, and the turn is a jack. And he was kind of playing fast, betting, which is consistent with bluffing. And he slowed down, and then he bet half pot. And I think if I had to bet, I would bet a lot of money. Or if I could bet, I would bet a lot of money that he turned a pair. And he was probably dominated, you know, with, but he could have ace jack, queen jack, could have had a king jack, whatever. He almost positive, just everything changed. He was kind of rushing through the hand, blasting off. I'm calling him down with ace high, and then the jack comes, and that's not a great card for me, and he slows down and bets half. I folded. So I feel like he got lucky on the turn, and then he opened, and I know he has a rival with me because I folded in the blind. I had 9-3 offsuit, and he smirked. And this is, so the beauty of the World Series of Poker main event for cash game players like myself is that you're deep and you can do a lot of shit, and you don't have to know all the shove charts until way, you know, you don't have to know that shit until way later in the tournament. And the struggle is it's tournament chips. It's not real money. And so people that would not fucking dare sit deep with you in a cash game, they're not scared of you, and they're going to do, you know, they're going to smirk when you fold your, I don't know, this guy was great, but the young woman, professional tournament player, open under the gun. The cool euro called, and I went to 3,500 with ace king, and I am out of position, and they both called. Okay, well, I have a good hand, ace king. Comes 5-5-3 with two hearts. I bet 3,800, and if one person calls, I'm going to check and win this hand on the river or something like that, and I might just have the best hand, and 3,800, and they both call. It sucks when they both call because you just can't bet any turn card, and the turn's a three, and we have to count the pot because I didn't get the right change. I didn't even notice it. I got shorted on the change, and the nosebleed player pointed it out, so that I appreciated that. And I just, you know, there's a lot going on. I'm playing a tournament, the only tournament I play a year, and so it just slows down the momentum, and it's 5-5-3-3 now, and there's no betting here. I check, she checks, the cool euro checks, and the river's a nine, and I would just check around, and she has eights, and she wins. So I lost with ace king to nines in a pretty big pot earlier, and here to eights. And if he doesn't call, So he had some sort of draw, obviously, or if he doesn't call, I can probably win this hand, maybe win this hand. And you just got to take your medicine. You just can't bet that. You just can't bet when they both call a flop on a paired board. It's just, it doesn't rep anything that you would three bet with. I mean, it reps a very narrow part of your range. So now the cutoff opens, and that's the cool euro. And I don't think he's strong. And I have ace three offsuit on the button, but I also don't have an image for three betting, so I just call, and then it gets squeezed behind me, and I have to fold. So I'm trying to get in there, and I'm not really getting much going, but you know, it's early. This is why you show up. Just see what happens. And sometimes you'll bet the ace king on 5-5-3, and eights will call, and whatever else will fold, and then you get to just win the pot. You can barrel off against one opponent, not two, and whatever. I changed the classic euro, the four seats name, to Jerk Off in my notes. So that tells you how I felt about him. And he just was doing everything bad for the game, and like not staring, not knowing his turn because he's listening to music, huge headphones, smirking, like, yeah. Well, anyways, he opens, I call with Queen Jack offsuit, and the young woman calls as well. And it comes ace, jack, seven. They check. I check my middle pair. The turn is a seven with two spades. And she checks. And he bets. And I call. It seems like a weird time, weird line with an ace to check ace, jack, seven three ways. I would be betting. And then the seven comes. And now you're betting. It just seems odd. I would, if I did check that flop, I would also check that turn and bet the river. Anyways, I call. It's not a big bet. She folds, ace, jack, seven. I have queen, jack. We checked. Turn seven, I called. And river's a king, and he checks, and I check back, and he throws a temper tantrum because he thinks we're chopping now. He turns over ace, queen, and he wins. And so he took an interesting line, in my opinion, a kind of not a great one, and it fooled me, and whatever, I called a bet on the turn. It's just, and I tell him, he's so upset. I said, bad beat, man. Very unlucky. He's just really annoying, and that's just who he is. I'm not judging him. I don't have any whatever. He's just classic euro. I changed his name to Jerk Off. I guess maybe it's a bad call. It's you expect players to do things that make more sense, players like that, and it's just a weird line with ace queen. Comes ace jack seven, you check three ways, and then a seven comes, and now you bet. It's just weird. I don't know. It's fine, I guess, but this is torture. Playing with this guy is torture, and the table talk is not great, and I have shooting pain going down my back. I have a pinched nerve, and I'm below starting stack, and that doesn't mean anything, but just am not in a good space. Didn't sleep enough, and so on. But it's, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to play poorly. It's time. It's sick hand alert. I open ace jack of clubs. And Bryce Harper calls, and the nosebleed pro calls, and someone else calls. So four-way pot, I have ace, jack, clubs. It comes king, eight, four with a club. That's good for the preflop raiser, and there aren't a bunch of two-pair combinations. And when there aren't two-pair combinations, and I'm the preflop raiser, and it's multi-way, I'm going to barrel. And I bet 1,100 into 3,300. And Bryce Harper calls. And the nosebleed player calls. And that's, it seems to me like he probably has some backdoor shit working, maybe a gut shot, maybe 7-6, whatever. And the turn, and I'm going to barrel against one. I'm not going to barrel against two too often. The turn's a jack. And I check, and now Bryce Harper, who has 18K in his stack, bets 2,500. And I turn second pair, and the nosebleed player folds. And I just, it just, like, strikes me that what can he do? Even though my image is not great, what can he do if I check raise here? If I go to 7,500, he's going to have to fold a king. And it's just really good. I turn second pair and I check raise. I sold it well. I check raise 7,500 and he thought for a while and folded what I think was a king. I liked it. I called Three Bets Cold from the jerk off. Just what I named him in my phone. He was the classic Euro. Just, there are so many great Euros that are fun to play with, even if they're good. And this guy's just not fun to play with. And no one, he was, you know, irritating everyone and taking too long and doing everything wrong. And I changed his name to Jerkoff after he threw a temper tantrum thinking we chopped when we didn't. And I knew he had ace king. I knew he three bet with ace king, and I called with fives. And it came 7-5 deuce. So I flopped a set. I checked. He put his standard continuation bet out there, and I small raised him. I thought he wouldn't fold ace king to this, and that, you know, I was just trying to level him, and he folded. So, you know, then you're thinking, well, I should have just called, maybe turns an ace or a king. No, I think when someone has like a rivalry with you at the table, it's I think it's good to if you flop a set, just go for it. Try and get the money, like try and level him. He's a tilty dude, and he just folded his ace high or his ace king, which he didn't show it, but I'm sure that's what it was. And then I called and had to fold flop a couple times, and that was the end of level two. And I finished level one with 69K. I finished level two with 69,100. So I chipped up one black chip, and that's pretty funny. So I'm going to do a lead out, just tell you what I did in between level two and three. And in between level one and two, I knew where to go. Or I didn't know where to go, but we found a spot. So between level two and three, I know where to go. And met up with a couple community members, Riddy and Edong, and just kind of get over there. You just walk over to Paris where it's not smoky. And I said, you know, I ate some almonds that I brought with me, and I was going to fast until dinner break, but I needed to take Advil because I had this shooting pain going down my back and neck, and so I needed to eat something and just kind of say, okay, it's time to go back. And this is what you do. This is the main event. It's just race around, and it's, you know, it's an experience. So it's time for level three. The blinds are 200 and 400, and then the big blind ante of 400 as well. So I call this one the first test, and that means players are going to be at risk. You don't see too many players at risk in the first two levels, although the young woman in my table was all in level one. She kind of came in aggro and punted a little bit, and then a finish all in and got called by a worse two pair. But level three is the first test. It's where you can actually lose a big part of your stack, and how are you going to deal with it? And it's, you'll see some bust outs in level three because it's right before dinner, and you just see it every year. And so it's the first test. That's what I named it. So I'm card dead, I'm folding, and I'm popping Advil. And just a note that the guy with big earrings man, Bem, three bet and with kings, and it came king 7-7, and he bet small and got check raised by Trotteroni, and it came ace, and Trotteroni checked, and he bet, and then the river is an ace, and he put a really good value bet in with kings on king 7-7 ace, and got paid. So I was impressed with that hand. And the nosebleed player hates the classic Euro as much as I do, calls a clock on him, and and the dealer is tilted. We have a tilty dealer, and I just asked him a question, like, the blind, you know, I was the big blind, and so you put 4 and 4 out there, and he just grabbed 5 and 5, and I said, is that like better for you? And like, he snapped, like, I was just being sincere, like, I don't know these fucking tournament, like, is it better to have two $500 chips and you just are going to make change from the small blind? And he kind of snapped, and then he got up, and it was time for a new dealer, and he just kind of got up and like spun his chair, and it just jammed right into my pinched nerve, and I wanted to fucking tackle him, but instead I just kind of winced and did some breathing, and just card dead in this level for a while, and then I finally defended 5-3 of hearts. Three ways. Someone opened, someone called. I defend 5-3 of hearts, and I flopped. Nothing right. That's right. Thank you, Kanye West. And you could probably tell if you've listened to part one and so far in this part two, I'm really eager to build a stack. And if you polled most people who play the main event, they'd say it's the wrong approach. But I've thought about it a lot, and it's the right approach for me. I'm not going to have an edge on day fucking five when it's 15 big blinds and 20. No, I'm not really going to have an edge. I'm going to be able to read people better than most. But this is when I have an edge, and this is when I should try and play the most pots. And yeah. So we have another time where the jerk off, you know, I mean that with love, opens, and I have call with queen jack offsuit, and the young woman calls from the blinds, and it comes ace jack seven again. Same thing. I have queen jack. It's ace jack seven. They check. I check again. This time the turn is not a seven. It's an ace putting a flush draw out there. And she checks, and he bets, and I think he's bluffing. I'm going to call here. Last time he had ace-queen. This time, obviously, it's harder for him to have an ace with two aces out there. Seems like he's bluffing. I call. Unfortunately, the young woman tournament pro calls as well, and the river is a spade, and so the flush gets there, and she just leads, and we both hold. So I open ace-seven offsuit in the cutoff and get it through, and that just feels good. Feels good to just take one down sometime. I just believe in momentum so much at a poker table, and I had it last year on day two, and I just ran over my table for the last few levels. And I would like, even though this is not a great table for running over, the two seat, that young woman is a aggro combative poker player for sure. She's, you can't run her over, and the classic Euro, you're not going to run over, and the nosebleed player, no. But like, I still want, if I get chips, I'm still going to try. And I'll just do stuff that people don't do. Like, I'll just, in level one, when I overbet early on, and then I 3X the pot on the turn with a gut shot, just because I knew it was a scare card and whatever. I want to do this stuff. You need some chips. And so I'm trying to accumulate some. And the table drove me to AirPods. It wasn't a fun table, and it was, maybe it had a lot to do with the pinched nerve in my back and me not getting enough sleep, but they drove me to AirPods, and that's something. I don't usually listen to music at the table, and I'm just being kind of dealt out, and I'm eager to play hands, and I'm not getting any. And now the jerk off, you know, and that's just how I could describe them. Nothing derogatory about that, but the jerk off and the four seat, he did the look back. He won a pot against someone and looked back at his. He did all the things that will drive you insane, and I just could only laugh at that. And now, one of the three recreational players at the table, Trout Aroni, and it's just some guy wearing a Mike Trout shirt in the three seat, and he looks like my friend Macaroni. He opens under the gun, and I folded ace eight offsuit on the button, and I was so proud of myself. Now, if I had ace five offsuit, would I have folded? No. And if I had momentum, would I three bet? Yes. I didn't have any of that, so I just folded. And I was so proud. I don't like folding when I'm sober, especially. So I open, because I think you can just win pots. That's what the beauty of no limit hold'em. It's just such a, so many options after the flop. Anyways, I open queen jack, and the nosebleed player defends, and he's doing laudan things with the woman poker pro, and so he's not focused, and he defends, and I have queen jack, and there's an ace exposed. Someone turned up an ace somehow, and it comes ace 10 7 2 hearts, and he checks, and I bet a third with my gut shot, and he calls, and you know, he's playing laudan things and whatever, negotiating bets, and he's a high stakes nosebleed guy, and I said, hold on, man. And you know, because I raised with queen jack, and he defended, and it came ace 10-7, and there was an ace exposed, and I bet a third, and he's, you know, trying to get bets down. And I said, hold on. And I said, listen. that, the turn was a king. And I didn't really like think too much about what this guy had when he defended and called my bet on the flop. I think he is, with an ace exposed, I think he's going to have a flush draw. But there's a lot going on, and I just didn't like think it through too much, but I turned the straight, obviously, on the turn. The turn was king. I have queen, jack, ace, 10, 7, king. I bet half pot here, which is pretty big for a tournament. And he calls pretty quickly, and I think he has a draw, but I don't really know. And the river is an X, and he block bets tiny. And obviously, I have the nuts. I got to raise. And I raised, not too big. Hopefully, he'll re-raise or something. He just snap folded. It's kind of an interesting hand. This guy played very well, and he did some weird shit, some tiny bets, and did one for value. And I think here, he was just trying to get me. I don't know what he's doing, but I don't know. It was nice to make a straight. And then this is how momentum works. Now I just win that pot, and now the cool euro on my right opens late, and he seems kind of weak. And I just 3-bet with 9-8 offsuit because now I just won a pot. And now this is how it goes. Okay, now I'm going to 3-bet 9-8 offsuit, and they all fold. And this is how you start building chips and momentum. And then I have a pretty weird hand where I open with ace-deuce of hearts under the gun to 900. Bryce Harper calls, and the young woman goes to 3,500. And the nosebleed player calls. And so when this woman, she's 3-betting a ton, when she 3-bet, I was going to 4-bet. That was my plan, because I'm starting to go momentum, and people just won't believe that I just raised a river, I had the nuts, and then I just 3-bet 9-8 offsuit, took it down. I have ace deuce suited here, I'm going to 4-bet, and now when this person cold calls, then I'm like, well, I think I'm just going to call. And it's maybe it would be better to 4-bet now that he's called, but I just changed my mind to call, and Bryce called and four-way blowed her, and it came jack 4-4, two spades and a heart, and we checked to the nosebleed guy, and he bet, and I just folded, and he bet tiny, and I felt like someone had a bigger ace than me, and so I'm just trying, I could call for backdoor shit, but I'm out of position, and anyways, she had ace jack. So I don't know if it would have worked pre-flop. I think it probably would have worked. A 4-bet. I had already 4-bet her in level 1. But I had a little momentum here. And I just lost some chips. And it's okay. It's just interesting. I have a plan. I open. The recreational guy who's getting kind of low calls. And she 3-bets. And she 3-bets a ton. I'm going to 4-bet. I want to start taking over this table. Instead, the nosebleed guy calls. Is he trapping with a huge hand? I don't know. It was confusing. So I play this hand poorly that you're about to hear about. Okay. The nosebleed guy opens, and I defend jack nine of hearts. And it comes ace queen eight rainbow, and he bets almost pot. Ace, queen, eight, rainbow. Okay, so I know this is light. I know this is a one-time. This is something I would do with king, jack, king, 10, jack, 10. And I have jack, 9. I have a gut shot in the back door. Flush draw. I call. And the turn is an 8. And I check, and he checks. And I'm just going to bet the river, and he's going to fold. And the river's a king, and I bet, and he raises, and it's so lame. I should have known he had jack 10. I knew he had jack 10. I fucking knew it. I didn't think it all the way through. I'm not playing my best. I'm leveling myself a little against someone I'm expecting to be doing really high-level stuff. And I think he just one-timed it with the double gutter, took his free card and binked, and now is raising for value. And I don't know. It was a little bit tilting. You got to find, I'm not in the zone at all. I'm not locked, but so what? I still got plenty of chips. And BEM, Big Earrings Man, opens, and I just call with two eights. And it comes deuce, deuce, four with two hearts, and he bets kind of big. And I call, and turn is the eight of hearts, and this guy will barrel, and he bets kind of big again. And I call, I turn a boat, real fucking luck box hand here, and the river's a black queen, and he bets kind of a lot. And I think about just calling here with eights full, and I probably should have just called. He was polarized on his river bet. I raised like 2.3 and he snap folded, but I think I should probably just flat here because it really seemed like queens full or he was barreling. He had like two big cards and then picked up a flush draw on the turn, and I'd seen him do this already. And anyways, the next note is Bryce Harper busts. And that is a little bit unfortunate. He was one of the recreational players. So now we're eight-handed and six are pros, and it's fine. It's not the worst table I've ever been at, but it's definitely not a soft table. And you have a couple really high stakes pros, and someone, the young woman's very good at tournaments and whatever. He busts, and I open ace six of clubs as we're winding down, and you know, this is the end of level three, and I open a 900, and Trouteroni calls, the jerk off calls, and the nosebleed guy goes to 6,300, your classic squeeze size. I have ace six suited. I want to play back at this, but I'm thinking about all the last longer bets this guy has, and I think he might just be playing a little bit OMC here, like I'm protecting my big pair. I decided to fold. My inclination was to play back at him and four bet with the ace, you know, suited ace, but I don't love ace six. I just folded. It was close. It was closer than you might imagine. It was just he took a huge sizing and whatever. And then I called in a multi-way bloater, and I whiffed. And it's time for dinner. I've made it through three levels, and I have 78K at dinner. That the pocket eights where I'm in a boat, and I believe he was barreling off, really helped. I have not been in the zone at all. I am not having fun. I have a lot of pain in my neck. The Advil is helping a little bit, and the table talk's not my cup of tea, and you know, my busy life catches up with me sometimes at the table, and it's easier when I'm drinking beers. Like, it's easier to enjoy everything and the jerk off and everyone else, but you know, it's a pretty good stack to head to dinner, 78,000. So we're going to check the scoreboard, the countdown to 2023 scoreboard, after week 26 of 50. So I decided my goal is to play five-hour sessions. And so I decided every three levels I made it in the main event would qualify as one session. And so you'll hear about level four and so on in the next session. But yeah, we're officially through week 26 of 50. So we're 52% of the way through our journey this year. And let's check the scoreboard. If we get to 2023 points by our deadline, I think is December 20th this year, there will be another season of sessions. And hopefully my life will continue to get better. Hopefully I'll be out of debt at some point soon and so on. And anyways, hours this week, I played 14. The goal is 15. I played five at the Hustler on a Tuesday, 3 hours on a Wednesday, and I played 6 hours here in the first three levels. So that's 14, and we're at 432 hours on the year. And the pace is 390, trying to play 15 a year. So I'm 42 ahead of that, and I'm proud of that. I was going to make the goal 500 hours because I am still a poker pro, but I got so many other jobs, commentator, hosting, fucking this podcast four times a week. And anyways, the quest is 750 hours. That's what we're trying to get to. And already at 432, that's not bad. Okay, the next line is wins. Every time I win a session or in the main event, make it three levels, that's a win. And every time I don't, that's a loss. Or if I lose in a regular session, and a win is 5 points, a loss is minus five, and we got 5 points this week. That's what I want. I won on Tuesday, 4,200 at the Hustler. I lost 4,200 on Wednesday, and I made it through three levels on day one of the main event. So we get 5 points, and we're at 140 points on the year. The pace is 130, so we're 10 ahead of that. We're trying to get to 250 points. I want to win two and lose one every week on average. Well, we're at 53 wins and 25 losses on the year, so we're a little bit ahead of that. And it's pretty good. Considering I go into sessions, including this day one of the main event, just worn out all the time. That's what my life is. That's the story. That's what it was last year, though, as well. And I made a deep run, and that's what it was the year before, and I made a deep run as well. So it doesn't, it's not, it hasn't been a problem, but it's just, you know, the story. And let's check out patrons. So every time I get a new patron or a patron fixes their credit card, I get 4 points. And every time someone cancels or their card goes bad, I lose 4 points. And Andrew signed up. Thank you, Andrew. That's 4 points. Boyd signed up. That's 4 points. Someone deleted. Okay, minus four. Someone at 1688 deleted. And I hate to see people go. And I don't even think that's smart because you have equity in this main event if you're at 1688 with two different players, but whatever. Maybe they won't cash. And then Smajo signed up at 1688. I feel like Smajo has signed up a few times, or maybe I'm hallucinating, but thank you, Smajo. Someone went down to 422. It's okay. As long as you don't cancel, go to whatever tier is right for you. There are six tiers. At 422, you get all the content, the entire story, all the interviews, the G-Man week, what I do, five parts with Garrett, and all that, right? And you also get a forum, like 2+2 poker forums, but it's actually the same infrastructure they use, but it's just people that are supporting my content. That's 422. And then the next one up at 844, you get Slack, which is basically social media with communal people. There aren't trolls. You're not allowed to be a troll or a nit. You get booted if you are. And, you know, there's lots of meetups all the time. There's lots of solidarity. And all that stuff's organized on Slack. Like, hey, let's go golfing today. I'm going to be in town, this, that. And, yeah, and then at 1688, you get all that stuff. And you get essentially rake-free poker online. That's pretty sick. And anyways, so someone went to 422. That's the tier that fits them. It's fine. JP Quinton signed up. Thank you, JP. Someone deleted. I'm getting more deletes as I'm starting to rise again in life. And I don't know if it's the story's less interesting some people, or I don't know what it is, to be honest, but it's okay. Someone went down to 1688, so that's the most plus EV tier to be at. Well, it was. I think the most plus EV now is 51 because you get to buy pieces of me at no vig, no markup when I play on stream, and so maybe that's the new most plus EV tier. And then Vladimir signed up for $100 a month. That's the top tier. Greatly appreciate that, Vladimir. That's this is someone who just was a friend of the community and went out with us when I arrived to Vegas and really loved the vibe and said, I want to be a part of this, and signed up and came in hot to top tier. And then Kyle signed up. Thank you, Kyle. And then some people fixed their cards. And anyways, we netted 5 patrons this week. So that's 20 points. And we're at 588 points on the year for patrons, and the pace is 312, so we're way ahead of that. 266 points ahead of pace to get to 600, but we've been ahead. We've already been over 600 a couple times, and then we've had, I don't know if it's people leaving or just cards being declined at a high rate. So there's been no growth in a month, and it's just something for me to think about. I've been giving away so much money and EV every time I've been playing on stream. I've been selling pieces for no markup, no vig to anyone that's a patron. And like a lot of people have made like 500, 700 bucks, and I haven't grown on this line at all. And I've also done like 1% giveaways, and I don't know. It's just a lot for me to think about. And anyways, the next line is Poker Rags, my startup, which is just struggling. I tried to set it free this year and see if it could blossom without me. pushing all the sales, and it just hasn't. And I don't even have a designer currently. I need to address this soon. Anyways, so the way, if you go on PokerAgs.us and you click on Team PokerAgs and click on DGAF and order anything off of my page, you get a point. You put a point on the board. No one did that. It's been a slow year. 0 points this week, 58 on the year. Pace is 220. We're 162 behind pace. We're trying to get to 423. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Anyways, here's the line that really matters, the countdown to 2023. It's okay to be behind pace in one line as long as you're ahead in another, and that's the case. We're ahead in Patrons overall. It's just been an interesting month of no growth. Anyways, the countdown to 2023, we got 39 points total this week of those four lines I just talked about. So we're at 1,218 points on the year, and the pace is 1,052. So we're 166 ahead of pace on the way to 2023 to keep this podcast alive, to finish the story off right of me getting flush again. This year I'm working as hard as I ever have, and I'm slowly clawing my way out of debt. And I think the story should end when I'm flush. That's what the original, when I started this podcast, I was at rock bottom, 250K in debt, massive bills, no bankroll, nothing, in poker PTSD. And it said, I want to get flush again. And so I think that's when it should end. Well, I don't know if we will document it or not. I'm getting there no matter what. I'm getting there. But I don't know if there will be another season. It's too early to tell. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.